You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Alrighty, good morning, everybody. It's really great to be with you all this morning. My name is Vincent Lara. I'm going to be giving our lesson today. Hope everyone has had a great week. I personally have had a fantastic week. Sports. I'm a huge Dodger fan, and I got to go to a Dodger game on Friday with some of the people in the Young Professionals Ministry. You can go to the next slide. This is a picture from there. It was awesome. It was actually amazing. It was a very close game, and it was super stressful for me. I have not been to a losing Dodger game in over 8 years. Every single time I go since then, they win. It doesn't matter how much they're down or what team they're playing through the playoffs, regular season, whatever, they always win. So this game, it was 0-0 for a while, and then it became 1-0. They were playing the Red Sox. The Red Sox were up. And going into the eighth inning, it was so tense. I was not enjoying myself. Everybody else was trying to have a good time and everything. They're like, dude, lighten up. It's just a game. I'm like, no, you guys don't understand. Like, the Dodgers are my life. Dodgers go up to bat, and we get the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth. And if you guys can go to the next slide, there's a video. There's me and Grant. We were going nuts. We were like, everybody was so hyped. They hit a grand slam to go up 4-1. And I was like, man, you know, hey, the streak lives on. Streak lives on. So I was super excited, but I could not stop smiling after that home run. And probably for the next like hour and a half, could not stop smiling. And I think what God did was he kind of put me in this moment in time, because as you can see there, I'm there with five of my best friends in the whole world. And I'm like, man, this is just amazing. We are disciples in Los Angeles. We're experiencing joy. And as righteous and as noble and as true as it is, when the Dodgers win, it was great to be with my brother and sisters. And so that's what I'm excited for. That's what has made this week really great. And even being back here, I actually have not been in this building since June 2nd of this year. We've had different campus events. I've been out of town for Father's Day or whatever. So I haven't been here in almost 2 months. So it is so good to be with you guys today. Amen. So let's go to God in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. God, I just thank you so, so much for bringing everyone here today, God. Thank you for allowing us to have this building, Father, for allowing us to gather in your name. And God, just for being our Savior and our saving grace in a time, God, that is just filled with so much doubt, God, so much confusion. God, you are our rock. And we just thank you so much for being that, Father. Please just bless the service today. Thank you for all the worship and the speakers, God. We just offer everything in your name. Love you so much, God. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Alrighty, so we're going to be continuing on our series in John. We're going to be going through chapter 13 today, kind of the beginning portion. So if you guys want to open your Bibles, we'll be in John 13, starting in 2 through 5. And I love doing this. Can I get an amen when you guys are there? Alrighty, so here the Bible reads, "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Continuing on, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' But Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' 'Then, Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.' Jesus answered, 'Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you.' For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.' So kind of going back to those first couple verses here, verses 2 through 5, we'll kind of get the setting, the scope of what's going on. We see Jesus, he's having dinner with his disciples. They're celebrating the Passover festival, a very important and prominent Jewish festival, probably one of the most important throughout the entire year. So everybody is dressed in the finest clothes that they had. They were probably pretty broke back then, so it wouldn't have been super nice, but as nice as they would have had, they would have been dressed in. And they're all gathered around, they're sharing a meal, they're talking, they're probably laughing and doing all that. And during this meal, we kind of get a little bit of context in the book of Luke. It's not stated in the book of John, but in the book of Luke, it says that a dispute arises among the disciples about who of them is the greatest, right? So very common theme. The disciples are always arguing with each other. Man, who's the greatest? Is it the guy that, you know, has the most money? Who knows the most about the Torah? Is it, you know, the one who serves? Like, who is the greatest? Is it the guy that can preach? And so Jesus is probably tired of hearing this. I mean, knowing the Bible, this is probably the third or seventh time that this has happened. But they're always arguing about this. And so quietly, Jesus stands up from this meal. They're in the middle of eating. And he starts taking off his outer robes, all of the nicest clothes that he would have on, and he just puts on a lowly towel. And at this point, what he's doing is he's pretty much embodying the role of a servant. And not just a servant, but in Jewish culture, there would be a person that would wash the feet. And it was seen as even beneath Jewish slaves. They would have to have a Gentile wash the feet of the Jewish people, because even a Jew couldn't wash the feet of another Jew. And so he's lowering himself to that of someone who is ostracized from society, of someone that is unwanted in the culture. And the disciples are like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you are a teacher, you are our Lord. You should not be just in these servant clothes. But Jesus does it in anyway. And so the question that I have is, man, what is Jesus teaching here? Is he teaching them how to wash feet, how to really, you know, get in between the toes, how to get the nitty-gritty off of their nails or whatever? No, he's teaching so much deeper things than that. Amen? He's teaching them that there's two things that need to happen. That one, they need to be washed by something much deeper, not anything of a physical nature, but of a spiritual nature. He's teaching, you need to be washed by me in a spiritual nature. So that's the first point that we have, is that church, all of us need to be washed by Jesus. Amen? So being washed by God, let's see what that looks like. In John 13, 6 through 11, we kind of go through this interaction. Jesus and Peter, they're going back and forth. And Peter's like, man, there is no way that you will ever wash my feet. It is just such a lowly thing. But Jesus says something here that is shocking, because Peter's thing, he's saying, you shall never wash my feet. In the Greek, it's a double negative. He's saying, for eternity, you shall never wash my feet. A very, very powerful and kind of concrete statement. Jesus comes back at him with fire. He says, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. It's amazing. It's equally strong. Jesus is insisting that he must wash Peter. And from here, Jesus is moving the transition from this physical washing to a spiritual washing. And you can ask yourself, what does that mean for us? That means that we need to be washed clean by Jesus. We see this all throughout the Bible. We see in Acts 22, 16, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name, right? Jesus is not talking about, he's not talking about just washing of the feet. He's talking about a full head-to-toe spiritual cleansing for the sins that we need to be washed away in our lives. And so that's what he's talking about here. We see it in Titus 3:5. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So he's not talking about just having a bath. He's not talking about, you know, just washing your armpits or whatever. He's talking about being washed by him and by him alone. Amen? And so Peter's response is honestly probably what I would have. He says, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He didn't totally get it, right? Even after Jesus says this, he doesn't fully understand what's going on. And Jesus has to explain a little bit more to him. He's saying, you know, you've had a bath. You've had, you are kind of clean head to toe, but you need your feet washed. And thinking of what that means for us, those of us who have been baptized, those of us who will be baptized, what does that mean for us? It means that there are sins that we will commit on a daily basis, even after we get baptized. But that doesn't mean that we need to get baptized again. That means that our feet need to be washed. The road that we walk on with God will accumulate dirt, And we need to go to Jesus to continuously cleanse from those sins. And that is honestly super hard for me to kind of grasp it, for me to even want to do, because that is a scary thing. It's a scary thing to be open, especially after receiving knowledge of the good news, of trying to live it out, of having the Holy Spirit in me. It's shameful to get open about the sins that I commit after I've decided to make Jesus Lord. And in my life, there's probably no greater area than when I'm impure, and even in the past, in my walk, been sexually immoral. That is probably the hardest time to get open, because it is so shameful. I get filled with so much shame, so much guilt, and I think to myself, there is no way that I could ever be washed clean of these things, because they're so disgusting, they're so vile, they're so counter to what I made that commitment to be when I made Jesus Lord. And so it's hard to open up. It's hard to go to God in those moments. But church, there's a picture of me at my baptism coming up on this next slide. Church, Jesus wants to wash us clean. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So church, we need to be open. As hard as it is, we can have a response like Peter where we're saying, God, we are just so unworthy of you to even touch our feet. And the disciples, they didn't have clean feet. I mean, they were reclined at that table. They didn't have AC. So they had dirty feet. Jesus did not care. Whatever dirt there is in your life, Jesus does not care. He wants to wash you clean. Amen? And that's exactly what he did for me and that he wants to do for you. But it's hard to get to that point of this full surrender. But we have an advocate, like it says in 1 John chapter 2. Find it here, sorry. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So church, for us, what we need to do is embrace Jesus, is allow him into our lives, allow him to wash us. As terrifying as it is to get open about these things, there is a spiritual healing that each and every one of us need, and it can only come from Jesus. And so my next point is what life looks like when we are washed clean and the community that we have if we are washed by God. And that's the example that Jesus sets for us later in the verses. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, and he brings up, I am your teacher, I am your Lord. I am above you, but I lowered myself for you. I lowered myself and I took on the very nature of a servant in order that you and I can be reconciled. And he says, now that I've done that, do that for each other. Consider each other better than yourselves. And this is in trials you are enduring. Westside, we have been doing the Lord's work since November. Amen? We have been on fire. We have been serving. We have been putting our time and our efforts towards each other. And that is just such a genuine encouragement. It's what makes me so fired up to be here every single week. And I mean, for the last 2 months, amen. But every single week, coming to church, knowing that I am with the family of believers, and that everybody who walks through that door is able to see God's love because of the way that we love each other, is the biggest encouragement in the entire world. So I want to just thank you guys so much for being that. Thank you for humbling yourselves to God's word, for serving one another in love, humbly. Thank you. It says here in Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Westside, we are fulfilling the law of Christ when we live according to this way, when we serve one another. I've seen that in my own life so much. I've seen so many people, so many of you, take on my burdens. Take on my fears. Even today, I was nervous coming up here. I'm like, man, I want to do good. I want to do well. I'm going to be helping out with the campus ministry coming in the fall. And I'm like, I want everyone to think I'm spiritual. I want them to think that I can preach. I want them to think that I'm capable. I want CJ and Steve to think that I'm capable. And so many of you just helped me, prayed with me today through that. Those nerves, those anxieties. And you did exactly what the Bible commands, to carry my burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ in that way. So I thank you guys so much for that as well. Practically speaking, how can we do this? How can we carry out this mission of serving one another? It's going to be way too small for you guys to see. It'll be on the website. I have a PDF here. These are some one another passages that I'd encourage you all to study out, to go through, to really dive deep into the scriptures and pray for an opportunity for God to allow you to love your neighbor, to go through and see, is there any way that I need to grow in my devotion, in my hospitality, in my service, in the way that I just love, the way that maybe I just listen to somebody in a conversation. And so there's a PDF there. There's a scripture for everything. And that's also one of our action steps too, is we need to go to the Bible to live, to have guidance on how to live, to have instruction on how to live. And the only way that we can do that is to dive into the Word. Amen. Also just praying for opportunities to serve. And so as we transition to a time of communion, I want to bring us back just to the community that we have here. This amazing fellowship of believers, brothers and sisters joined in the fight against the powers of evil for God. This is the community that God has put us in. And this is exactly what Jesus died for. He died so that we can be together, that we can have life to the full, and that we can be in this battle together. And so as we reflect on that, I want our hearts just to be centered on how we can serve God and how we can serve one another in love, humbly and without any expectation in return. So I'll go ahead and pray for the communion, and then we'll go ahead and have that portion of the service. God, I just thank you so much for this time to just reflect on your Son, God, his sacrifice, and just the amazing life that we're able to live, God. I'm just so fired up, God, that we are able to carry out the good work that you have wanted us to do, God. When we live according to your word, God, that is the gospel. People are able to see your love through that, God. I just thank you for allowing us to be co-workers with you, for allowing us just to live our lives with one another, God, always striving towards you. You are perfect, God. And you just humbled yourself on the cross for us, God. You bore our sins, and we just thank you. God, we love you, and we offer this service in your name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.